The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
What do you make of the new OBU design, and will the new distance-based charging end up costing drivers more? The answer is coming up from our senior transport correspondent.
I'm Haryanto Diman.
And I'm Olivia Kwe. You can subscribe to the Straits Times channel so you never miss a single episode.
Now, clunky, inelegant, and takes up too much space. Now, those are the reactions that motorists have about the new three-piece onboard unit that will replace the current in-vehicle unit. The OBU is a part of the next-generation electronic road pricing system set to start in 2023.
The OBU will come in two designs, a one-piece unit for motorcycles and a three-piece unit for other vehicles. The latter comprises an antenna, a touchscreen display to be mounted on the windscreen, and a processing unit which can be attached beneath the dashboard.
The Land Transport Authority said that installation of the new OBU will start in the second half of next year.
Meanwhile, motorists generally welcome the new ERP system, saying that the distance-based charging seems like a fairer system and would encourage a more judicious driving culture in Singapore.
Here to share more on the next-generation ERP system and the OBU is the Straits Times senior transport correspondent, Christopher Tan. Hi, Christopher. Glad to have you back.
Hello.
Chris,
hi, pleasure.
From the current one-piece IU to the new three-piece OBU. Why is there a need for a clunky unit?
Okay, I think there's been some attempt to make it as streamlined as possible. And that's why they separated the components into three instead of having one big one. You remember that when they were putting out trials, they actually showed us some pictures of a one-piece unit. But that one was actually quite big. It also incorporated card reader, an antenna, as well as a screen. So probably they were attempting to, separate the three so that the one that sticks up on your windscreen doesn't look as bulky. But the result has been that it looks pretty unsophisticated when all of us are used to one-piece machinery like our phones, our iPads and our laptops, right? So, yeah, maybe there can be some kind of solution where, it allows us to incorporate the function of the touchscreen onto our car's infotainment system. That's been one suggestion. And also maybe to hide the card reader into the glove compartment or something where it's not impinging on, knee space or any part of the car which, your knee or thigh comes into contact with. And the antenna can be something that is pasted onto the screen. Something like that. I mean, all these are suggestions.
Well, Christopher, we know that, eventually the charging system will be distance-based. Could you explain how the distance-based charging works? And do you think the chargers, do they start once the driver starts the car, or will it be a separate charge from ERP?
Okay, I mean, to answer the last part of the question first, we don't know, right? The details are not out. What we know is that the distance charging part is not going to be anytime soon. For technical or other reasons, we are not going to see this in the next few years. This second generation ERP is going to come out, going to start in 2023, which is 2 years from now, right? So distance charge will probably be a few years after that. So we might be looking at something closer to 2030, if anything, that's what is to come about. Distance charging, as the name implies, charges you for the kilometers that you clock, the distance that you clock. And that's a proxy for the amount of congestion that you contribute to. It is a much sharper tool than the current static ERP system, a cordon system, where once you pass a gantry, once you enter a cordon, you are free to drive as much as your heart desires. That, of course, is not very effective, in terms of congestion, because in the city, you'll notice once you get into the CBD, traffic comes to a halt most of the time. But when you have distance charging, then people will be more effective in their driving. They will plan their routes better. They will think ahead of where they want to park. They may decide not to drive in the first place. They might decide to leave their car on the fringe and take a train inside the CBD.
Chris, I just want to clarify. So the distance-based charging starts when the driver starts the car and starts moving. It's not like the current system where you pass through an ERP gantry and then you get charged, right?
Correct. So whether it will start when you turn the ignition on or when the wheels start moving, that's still not clear, but the technology that allows distance-based charging would allow all kinds of permutations. It might even allow them to charge for the time that you occupy a space, a parking space, for instance, or waiting by the curb for someone, because technically you are contributing to congestion by waiting by the side, even if you are not moving. That would be a policy decision, but the technology to charge according to distance will allow them to charge all these things, waiting time, right? You know, even idling time. That would be good for, you know, controlling pollution also, because a lot of, whether you know it or not, it is illegal to leave your engine on when you're waiting by the side. So that would also allow them to enforce idling, right? Idling infringements, where you leave the engine running when you're not moving.
Also, along the same lines of, you know, policy decisions, do you think then that car taxes like road tax should be reviewed, and in turn, will all of this influence a person's decision to buy a car, Christopher?
Certainly. You know, in a lot of countries, people have access to a car, but they don't necessarily drive them as much as we do. For instance, someone in Tokyo, if you reach a certain income level, you get a car, right? But you may not use that car until the weekend comes about. And therefore, on weekdays, you take the train, you commute by train, and the streets are pretty smooth flowing. So kind of policy where they allow congestion, right, to come to a point where people decide, say, no, it's not effective for me to drive a car because I'm going to be caught in a huge jam, I'm going to be late for work, or I have to wake up at 4 a.m., or, you know, I'm not going to find parking, or if I find parking, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg, right? So that kind of thing, they will decide by themselves and they will pull back and they will leave their car at home. But the access to a car, which is really a natural aspiration for anybody who reaches a certain affluence level, it's really hard for you to curb, you know. Otherwise, you might run into the danger of having a population where young people and young successful people, you know, come up to a certain point in their career and they say, I want to own a car, and they can't have it. And you might have an emigration problem, you might have a brain drain, you might have, you know, a talent drain. You would not want that.
Well, thank you so much, Christopher, for your insights. Great insights there.
Yep.
Always a pleasure to speak with you. Now, we were speaking to the Straits Times Senior Transport Correspondent, Christopher Tan, on the new ERP system.